Broadcasting worldwide on the Golf Club Network. It's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
You are in the clubhouse and welcome on this Players Championship Saturday. A leader after two rounds, first round 63, followed by a second round 69. Former world number one Martin Kaymer says he's looking at his golf scores in a whole new light after plummeting off the golf dance floor a couple of years ago. He does not expect to play the same one day to the next.
Overall, you know, 1200 par is a very good score on that golf course after two rounds, especially the way it played this morning. You know, I was hoping for a little bit less wind, but it was very difficult to play, you know, especially with those pin positions. I made a couple of good up and downs, you know, on 4 and on 10. So overall, you know, 1200 par is I'm very pleased, yeah.
All right, but look who's coming after him, Jordan Spieth. We're going to talk to Ron Syrak, executive editor, Golf World, senior writer, Golf Digest, of course, author as well, right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Dr. Armand Chong Dentist, the director of the Hawaii TMJ Institute, dental director for 10 senior facilities, the official dentist of the 1990-95 Hula Bowl and Aloha Bowl. Dr. Armand Kainoa Chong, a great dentist, 737-3525. And Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And also, Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the show, Ron Syrak, Golf World Executive Editor and Senior Writer for Golf Digest Magazine. Ron, it's good to hear you.
Hey, thanks for having me on again, Danielle. My pleasure.
Absolutely. Now, look at Jordan Spieth. We're calling him the most mature 20-year-old to come on the stage. He's so steady. Tell us what you see in his game.
Yeah, you got to like everything about his game. I covered several PGA Tour events, two Byron Nelsons and one Texas Open when he was playing still as an amateur. And I remember one year at the Byron Nelson, he was like, I don't know, maybe sixth after three rounds on Saturday night, had to go to his high school graduation, you know, and then came back out and finished like T16 or something like that. But he's unflappable. I thought he held up very, very well, even though he didn't win the Masters this year. He shot 72. He shot even par on Sunday, playing in the last group in the first Masters he'd ever played in. You got to like everything about his game. You got to like everything about his attitude.
It's wonderful. I don't know if you remember this at Humana about, I don't know, 2-3 years ago. We were sitting in the break room, and a young man came along and said, "Who do you pick as the up-and-coming young golfer?" Do you remember who you said?
I hope I said Jordan Spieth.
You did. I said Harris English. You said yeah. Jordan Spieth, and there he is.
As I said, too, the only thing I saw at Augusta that I think he needs to work on a little bit is he has a tendency to get down on himself, and he got a little petulant on the back nine when things started going south for him, and he slammed some clubs around, and he explains it as that he's being angry at himself. I think that's something that you've got to rein in and you've got to learn how to control. Now, Tiger famously always, Earl Woods taught Tiger the 10-second anger rule. You're allowed to be angry for 10 seconds, then you let it go. And I guess that's sort of what Jordan does, but I'd like to see him rein that behavior in just a wee bit, and that will help him, turn, a 74 into a 71. You know, the key to winning tournaments is not when you have your A game, it's when you have your B-minus game and figuring out how to make bad rounds not that bad.
Well, he's 20. He had an interesting education because he went to St. Monica Catholic School, I think it was, and the Jesuit College Preparatory School. Just that Catholic schools tend to make you a little bit more serious about life. just in general. And then he went to play for Texas, the Longhorns, and then he went onto the tour without finishing school. That was kind of scary, but he seems to be so ready for the world and ready for this stage. He was, I think, number two on the AJGA in the PGA Championships, the Junior Championships. And then he was declared Player of the Year on the Junior Circuit. So he's always steady Eddie, and yet if we compare him to Tiger Woods and what Tiger did up to this point as a young man, I think they have almost the same number of top tens, but Tiger at this point had won six times while Jordan Spieth has won once. Is today, the Players' Championship, an important day for Jordan Spieth?
Well, it would be an enormously important day for him if he wins this tournament. It's not a massive setback if he doesn't win the tournament, because look, part of the way in which Tiger Woods spoiled us is he's one of the very, very, very few athletes who not only lived up to the hype, but he exceeded the hype. He was better than advertised. We don't see that often. And, you know, in looking around if the Tiger Woods era is coming to an end, and it feels like it is, and we're looking around, well, who's going to be next? It may very well be that the person who's going to be next isn't on our radar screen yet. He might be a 14-year-old out there somewhere, mm-hmm. a 13-year-old. But Jordan certainly has a chance to be, if not Tiger Woods, has a chance to be Phil Mickelson. He has a chance to be somebody who goes out there and wins a lot of tournaments and multiple majors. And I expect him to do that.
Yeah, the thing about Tiger and Jordan, there's a difference. It's Tiger was kind of flashy. He did show these flashes, that smile, that emotion that came out of him. And Jordan is very, we saw some emotion. It wasn't the kind that we'd want to see when he was upset at the Masters with himself, of course. But is it because he's so consistent that kind of takes that star sparkle off of him?
You look at Tiger's game. First off, Tiger Woods was a marketing person's dream. You know, if you were gonna make him up, you couldn't have made him up any better than he was. Everything about him was marketable, right down to the name. I mean, Tiger Woods. You kidding me? You know, yeah. I mean, just everything about him was perfect. But the thing about Tiger is that his most memorable shots are his recovery shots. Tiger makes a ton of mistakes, way more mistakes than Jack Nicklaus ever made in his career. But Tiger's is a genius at recovering from mistakes. So that makes it a very entertaining kind of play to watch.
Right.
Jordan is more like Nick Faldo. You know, Nick Faldo won six majors in a very non-flashy way. Nick Faldo won three Masters where he was trailing going to the back nine all three times, and he just waited out the other people. And Jordan's more in that sort of Faldo-ish type camp.
Yeah. I got it. You're absolutely right. Now, Martin Keimer, I am so thrilled to see after this young man, you know, in Germany, Harold is, you know, the next great athlete of all time. Then you come tumbling down and changes his swing and trying to find himself. And now he seems to be doing so well. I love his attitude. He said something about knowing that the day that you wake up one day isn't going to be the way you feel the next day. And that's why your golf game isn't going to be the same one day as it is the next. And you have to take what you wake up with. At least that's what I took away from what he said.
I think that's a very important breakthrough for him to have mentally. Part of what Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott teach is you have to figure out who you are today on the golf course. You're not always bringing the same golf game with you out there. You got to figure out who you are today, what you have today, and then how to make the best out of it. Martin's another one of those guys that in 2010 that we put the burden on his shoulders of, okay, he's going to be the next guy out here.
Yeah.
And he won the PGA, and that was the year 2010 when Tiger was just coming back from a scandal and wasn't getting a whole lot done. And then I think it was early the next year after the match play, Martin became number one in the world. And he was number one for about a minute and a half. And, he's one of those guys who got there and then found out that it's hard to be there because all of a sudden you've won a major, you're number one in the world. So the media wants more from you, sponsors want more from you, fans want more from you, and you have to adjust your life to that. I think we're seeing Adam Scott and Justin Rose going through that right now, coming off a year in which they won their first major last year.
And Martin, Henrik Stenson.
Yes, exactly. And I think Martin's one of those guys who like looks like he's figured it out. Okay, I've been here before. I didn't handle it well. This time I'm going to handle it better.
Can we talk Phil Mickelson for a second?
Always.
I mean, after missing the cut at the Masters, that was like, what? And now, Phil the Thrill, is he just waiting for the U.S. Open at Pinehurst to get his Grand Slam career?
Well, you know, for several years now, I've sort of felt with Phil that he, you know, he's been out there a long time. It's like 22 years for him. And I think he has trouble maintaining motivation. And I felt for a while that only two things motivate Phil right now. Beating Tiger Woods and winning majors, you know, and but it may very well be that exactly what you say. Remember, it was at Pinehurst 15 years ago that he got the first of his six second-place finishes in the U.S. Open. And to me, it's remarkable that he's finished six times in the U.S. Open, because he doesn't seem to have a game that fits the U.S. Open because he's so wild off the tee. But, you know, Phil being Phil, and Phil being Phil the Thrill, I would not at all be surprised if 15 years later, after that first second-place finish, he goes into Pinehurst and he finishes the career Grand Slam by getting his first Open.
That would be something. And you know what? You brought up something that I hadn't thought about. He doesn't have his quote-unquote nemesis, his motivator, the Tiger Woods guy. He's not there to push him. So there's, you know, he doesn't have anybody.
And he really hasn't had him for several years now, you know, I think that this could motivate him, which is he's got five major championships, so he's tied with Seve Ballesteros and Byron Nelson with five. That's pretty good company. At six is Lee Trevino and Nick Faldo. That's even better company. At seven is the elite, Sam Snead, Arnold Palmer, Bobby Jones, Gene Sarazen, Harry Barton. That's an incredibly elite level. And if I was Phil, I'd be looking to think, wow, if I could somehow squeeze two more majors out in my career, I'm in that conversation now as one of the 10 best ever to play the game.
Yeah, and yet chasing majors for major's sake is very dangerous, isn't it?
Well, it is, because what's hard with any athlete in any sport is to fall into, to be seduced into that thing of thinking that you can flip the switch anytime, you know, and all of a sudden have your A game. And you really need, part of what made Tiger so good is that he forgot his wins as quickly as he forgot his losses, you know, and he sort of played full out. He ran hard every time he teed it up. And I think that's what leads to consistently great play, and that's what leads to putting yourself in the position, giving yourself an opportunity to win multiple times. It's really dangerous to think, okay, I can coast for a couple of tournaments, then flip the switch and find my A game.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, we're talking about Phil, which is, it's funny because last year, until the Scottish Open, he was kind of like all over the place. Nothing was consistent, and then bam, he wins the Scottish Open, and then he wins the Open, and all of a sudden he's back.
It almost was like somebody got into Phil's head last year. And Phil's all about, Phil likes the challenge of having fun on the golf course. He likes to hit difficult shots, too, it's almost like somebody got into his head and said, hey, you know, like playing links golf is a game. It's something that could be fun for you. You know, there's all these cool shots that you have to hit. And he went into Muirfield, it seemed to me, with that attitude and played on an incredibly difficult golf course that was a color I had never seen on a golf course. It was so brown, so hard, so firm. And he went in and played brilliant links golf. And Phil had never done particularly well in the British Open because his game, is a high game, you know, and links golf is a low game. But he went in, he adapted his game, and he won.
Amazing. It's just fascinating to watch him, you know. Just you think that, okay, this is it. The arthritis has got to him, you know. It's decline, and then bam, he's back on top. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, he's truly Phil the Thrill, and that is, to me, is what makes him, he's probably the most entertaining player since Seve Ballesteros that way, because you really know what you never know what you're going to get when he's out there, and he's capable of doing anything.
This is another mystery to me, and I'm talking Rory McIlroy, okay?
Yeah.
Here's our, you know, $10 million man, anointed to be the Tiger Woods next, or at least somebody to compete against him and make, you know, make him run. And his ball striking is, it's inconsistent. He just barely made the cut again. What's up with Rory?
That's a great question. You know, twice now he's faked me out. Twice now I thought he had figured it out, you know, and not only did he have a great game, but I thought his head was screwed on his shoulders, right? But yesterday he shoots 42-32 to make the cut right on the number. Today he goes out and shoots 38-31, you know, and it's just that lack of consistency out there. Look, what we know about McIlroy is in his U.S. Open, he won by 8 strokes. In his PGA, he won by 8 strokes. We know he can win with his A game. What he hasn't shown us is he can win with his B game. And again, I'll just keep going back to Tiger Woods. Part of what made Tiger special is he could win when he didn't have his best game out there.
And it's all about recovering from those disastrous shots that Tiger Woods could also amazingly recover from that made you sit on the edge of your seat and go, wow, he did it again. You know,
right. It's staying mentally engaged that way and not letting a double bogey get you down, but rather use a double bogey to motivate you. And it seems like Rory hasn't figured that out. I thought when he and Carolyn Wozniacki got engaged that would be a step forward for him, because it's an added burden for both of them. And it's hurt both of their games that they've had a very public romance, you know, and that's a hard thing to do. It's a whole different series of questions of the paparazzi following you around and all that. But he's not come into this year with any more consistency than I've seen over him for the last couple of years. And that's the thing that's missing from his game, is consistency.
That's so weird. You know, it's just like, I don't blame it on the club change, you know, the manufacturer change and all that going to Nike.
The scientists are too good at the equipment companies. They can figure it out so well.
Exactly. It's just one of those things with golf, I guess. You know, you all come together and everything works and you're on the top of the world, and then all of a sudden nothing works and you're like, what happened? Before I let you, who are you following?
Well, I'm going to go out with Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia, and I mean, those are two fascinating people, and the fact that they're paired together is interesting. And I'll walk with them for a few holes and see how they're doing and see if they make a move. But then I'm sure I'll spend a lot of time with Keimer and Spieth. I'm thinking I might write Spieth for my column on GolfDigest.com today.
Oh, cool, GolfDigest.com. You can always find Ron Syrak's excellent writing there. He's got good insight. You really enjoy his articles. I love it when you do, you know, the very in-depth reporting that you sometimes do for Golf Digest, the magazine. When you went to was it Dubai? That was a wonderful article when you went to Africa. Oh, just fascinating work that you do. But you also talked this week with the PGA Tour Wives Association. What are they doing? I know they do so much in Hawaii. Is there something special coming up in their organization?
Well, this is a big week for them because it's a home game for them, and they do a lot of charity stuff this week. I did a piece. I went to about 4 or 5 of their events last year, because last year was the 25th anniversary of the Wives Association, and one of their main charities that they work with is Blessings in a Backpack, which is to give disadvantaged kids food to eat on the weekend. You know, these are a lot of kids that you know, they are able through school breakfast programs, school lunch programs to get proper nutrition during the school week, but then they go home on the weekend and that may not be the case. And the studies have shown that the dropout rates, that the grades, there's a direct proportion to proper nutrition and academic performance. And that's the main thing that they do a lot of work on. And, I spent time yesterday with Amy Wilson and she is currently the president of the organization. And this was a group that was founded by Barbara Nicholas and by Raymond Floyd's wife and David Graham's wife. And they really, part of what bristles them is the stereotype of them that, you know, all they do is spend their husband's paychecks, you know, and their husbands make good money. But they do a lot of work. And you know what they do? I went to one thing they did for Ronald McDonald House in Fort Worth last year. And part of what they do is go into a town where the tour's playing and use their profile as tour wives to get local publicity, local TV exposure, local newspaper exposure for local-based charity. It's very admirable work.
It is. And they do blessings in a backpack for Hawaii kids. So I totally understand what you're talking about. Ron Cyrek, thanks so much for being on the show with me this morning. You know, the LPGA is almost more exciting than the PGA Tour right now. Will you be on the show from the next, what's your next LPGA Tour stop?
Well, I'll be at the Women's U.S. Open. In fact, I'll be at the back-to-back U.S. Opens at Pinehurst. I'll be 15 days in Pinehurst in June.
But, do you have a good place to stay?
I hope so.
Fabulous. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Aloha. This is Ron Cyrek, executive editor of Golf World Magazine and senior writer for Golf Digest Magazine. And you can find his work at golfdigest.com. We'll be back right after this. Steve Mona coming up. That's right. It's just about that time when we go and lobby Congress to tell them just how important golf is to our economy, not just the charity work, but just the economy in general, something like $69 billion generated by the golf industry. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Why wait? To be old enough or wise enough? Why wait to own the road ahead when you can do it now? Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique, you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to have the world within reach with the intuitive controls of the Acura ILX? Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters? Why wait to follow the rules when you can make up your own? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter-life crisis.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
The best thing I can tell you about the weather forecast is the trades are coming back. Right now, we've got variable winds. You know the story. Mostly sunny, hazy, and it is a humid day. National Golf Day is May 21st. And we are Golf, a coalition of the game's leading associations and industry partners marching on Capitol Hill. Steve Mona, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle. It's good to be back with you. Always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure talking to you, sir. Now, why was We Are Golf put together? Here, you've got your, you've got the most incredible board of directors. Everybody: Mike Davis, Peter Dawson, Tim Fincham is the chair, I think, this year. Mike Wan, George O'Grady, Joe Steranka, Jim Armstrong. All these guys. Amazing group of men. And what do you do?
Well, essentially, what We Are Golf does is it brings the collective interest of the golf industry together to communicate with one voice to Congress, to the executive branch, and to federal agencies about the economic, charitable, environmental impact of golf, as well as the health and wellness benefits of the game, affordability and accessibility of golf. And so those are our key message points that we attempt to get communicated effectively to Congress and the executive branch and agency so that laws and regulations that impact the golf industry will be appropriate to an industry of almost $70 billion in economic impact that employs 2 million Americans.
Yeah, $69 billion. How many Americans are employed in the golf industry, did you say?
It's close to 2 million. I would just like to mention about that, too, that a lot of people perceive the golf industry to be Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, and certainly they make their living from golf, and they've done very well. But
We're having a hard time with your connection. It comes in really good, and it seems like you might move, and then we lose you.
Okay, how's that?
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. You've got Jack Nicklaus coming in. What is he going to do when he talks to the leaders of Congress?
Jack Nicklaus will be speaking at the first decongressional breakfast, and he'll be speaking to members about the impact of the first tee on our nation's youth. We're going to, over the next 5 years, touch the lives of about 10 million young people across the United States through the first tee program, which has now evolved to a point where it's a platform to teach life skills. So it is obviously teaching young people about the game of golf, but it's also what we say is creating the next generation of leaders in our country.
It's fantastic. National Golf Day is May 21st, and you can support National Golf Day on Twitter, for instance, or on Instagram. Just tag it, We Are Golf, and show your support for the golf industry this entire month. It's Get Into Golf Month. For instance, Welcome to Golf Month at Ko'olina. They've got some lessons that are free still, and I think it's for the last class, the 31st class, 10:30 in the morning on Saturday. Free use of the rental clubs. If you've got no clubs and you want to know what it's like, get into golf. Welcome to Golf Month at Ko'olina. And it's We Are Golf on Twitter and Instagram. Join the conversation, social media. Now, in addition to that, what kind of message can we go to Congress? Can we write to Congress and say, we want you to support golf? How do we make our voices heard? I'm sorry, we can't hear you, Steve. This is I'm really sorry about this. We just can't hear you.
Okay. I'm inside a building. Let me see. I could possibly walk outside and see if that's any better.
Yeah. I'll just keep talking while you try that. National Golf Day is going to feature at a day-long exhibit in the Cannon Caucus Room, and they're going to give lessons to members of Congress. I think that's the best. I think they'll really get their attention with Michael Breed, the 2012 PGA Teacher of the Year and host of Golf Fix, of course, on Golf Channel, and LPGA professional Dana Rader. They're going to be teaching. That'll get that, you know, so while you're teaching, and then you can say, by the way, Congressman, I'd like you to do such and such. I'll show you that special technique that might just fix your putting if you do. arm twisting there. There'll be special exhibits and activities closest to the pin contest. They're going to use an about golf simulator, and they're just going to have a whole lot of fun. State of the swing analysis, golf tech will be there. Birdie ball, the latest at-home training technology, and this is the best one. I just can't wait. The Republican versus Democrat putting challenge. So it's going to, you know, 2 million men and women rely on the golf industry to make a living. And a lot of those 2 million live right here in Hawaii. And you know how much our golf industry experts give back to our community. PGA of America and our Aloha Section professionals are always at events, and they're always willing to give you 10 minutes of time to maybe show you something that's going to correct that your grip. It can just be so simple, you know. Maybe you're not holding it quite right, and so it's not an extension for you. It's got to become one. That's the way it is. So Steve Mona is with us this morning. We're having some difficulties making a good connection. It's just,
yes.
Yes.
Is that better, Danielle?
Oh, yes, it is. You're coming in loud and clear now. So what can we do? What can we do to get the message to Congress? Do we write to our congressperson?
So here's what I would suggest. There are a couple things. First, the answer is yes to your question. Your congressperson is an ideal person to communicate with. And just a simple message about the economic impact, the charitable impact of golf, the environmental impact, but just staying very succinct and focused on the message. The second thing is join in on social media through the We Are Golf website. It has instructions on how you do that.
Oh, good.
And that really creates a whole different element of involvement in the game. And those are two ways that your listeners can engage in this process.
Excellent. That's wearegolf.org. That's where you can find everything and how you can get involved. Steve Mona, we have to talk again. We have to make sure we have a great connection because I love talking with you.
I do too, Danielle. Sorry that it didn't work out in terms of the connection. Hopefully this is a little bit better.
Yeah, it is. It is. I have the author of an excellent book that I've just thoroughly enjoyed, and I haven't finished it, but it's A Difficult Par. It's all about Robert Trent Jones Sr. and the making of modern golf. It's fascinating book. It talks all about his life and everything, and boy, he came from nowhere. You know, he struggled through life to get up to where we consider him, you know, the king, and then he has two sons when they're kings too, and arguing
right.
over their kingdom.
That's right.
But you've got to tell us on social media who wins the Republican versus Democrat putting challenge. That's going to be
interesting. We'll be sure to let you know how that turns out. But it's a great day, and it really focuses our elected leaders on the golf industry and really tells the story that it's a significant industry. It's larger than the performing arts and the spectator sports industries. It generates more for charity than the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the National Hockey League combined do. It generates dollars that go to causes almost entirely outside of golf. Golf facilities are tremendous community assets. They serve as a place of employment. They serve also as places that local purveyors of products and services make substantial parts of their living. They also serve as a location for charitable activities. So that's the story that we're trying to tell, and it's that simple.
WeAreGolf.org. Go there. Get involved. Make your voice heard because golf is a huge industry. It benefits people in charities. And, of course, it's a $69 billion economy. A lot of us depend on it. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome, Danielle. Good to be with you.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. We're going to talk about a difficult par. Aren't all pars difficult? No, not according to many professionals. Robert Trent Jones Sr. made it just too hard. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Do you suffer from migraines and headaches, stiff neck, or grind your teeth? Come see Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute. 20 years and state-of-the-art diagnostics with a caring staff gives you peace of mind. We're located at 3660 Wailea Avenue in Kaimuki, above Kahala. Call 737-2865 for your appointment. Validated parking. The first step to ending your chronic pain is Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Ooh, let's do the great Bridgestone Golf Giveaway. You need to be the ninth caller, and the number is 808-296-5467. That's 808-296-5467. That's right, all you have to do is be the ninth caller, and you win a dozen Bridgestone golf balls. Our next guest, internationally known historian in the field of aerospace history. James R. Hansen is internationally known in the history of golf architecture. A near-scratch golfer in college who co-captained his college golf team, Mr. Hansen has been, for 17 years, been a rater of golf courses for Golf Week magazine. He's played over 600 courses around the world, and he has authored a book, a beautiful book. It's called A Difficult Par. Welcome to the show, Mr. Hansen.
Thank you very much. It's nice to make your acquaintance.
Nice to meet you. And I have to ask you, A Difficult Par, let's start with the reason why you gave your book about Robert Trent Jones Sr., arguably one of the most prolific and celebrated golf course architects of all time. What is it called, A Difficult Par?
Well, titles of books are very important, and they need to capture different elements of the story. And the most literal meaning is the one you've already made reference to, and that is Jones's kind of a guiding principle in golf course design. He felt that every good golf hole should be a difficult par, but an easy bogey. And that sort of captured the essence of his thoughts, and that is that par should be the standard. And he became later in his career, once the pros were breaking par by so many strokes, you know, he was part of the USGA involvement of trying to, you know, make par mean something again. So he thought that every hole should be not an easy par, but it should be a difficult par for everyone, even the pros. But that hole should also be playable for everyone. And so that's where the easy, that there should be routing, there should be, you know, ways of playing a hole that don't require, you know, force carries or this or that. And so the average player could enjoy the golf course and maybe end up with a bogey, but still, you know, be able to play it. Now, we could question whether or not there's a lot of double bogeys out there that the average golfer gets, so one might question the entire premise of his principle. But that's kind of what he lived with through all of his designs, which are over 400 different golf courses around the world.
Well, yes, you know, you say the average golfer, heck, the pros complained that his courses were just too hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the turning point kind of in the whole history of modern championship golf came in 1951 when at Oakland Hills Country Club near Detroit, Michigan, the club in association with USGA brought Jones in to modernize, as they said at the time, the existing Donald Ross golf course, because the scores in the US Open and the other PGA tournaments had been, you know, going lower and lower, and they wanted the par standard to mean something. And so they brought him in, and he did a major redesign of Oakland Hills and made it extremely difficult. And it's the famous tournament that Ben Hogan won, shooting 67 in the last round, really the only significant under-par score for the entire tournament. And it was the moment where Hogan made the comment, I've finally brought this monster to its knees. And so that really made Jones's reputation in 1951. And from that point on, the USGA brought him in to modernize and toughen up a number of courses, a number of the US Open courses in the 50s, Baltusrol, Olympic, Southern Hills. And then he came in and did a major reworking of Firestone, which made it into arguably the hardest course in existence by the early 1960s. So, yeah, he sort of created the paradigm of modern championship golf, which we still live with today.
You know, it's interesting, he has two sons, Robert Trent Jones Jr., and Robert Trent Jones Jr. has done many courses in Hawaii, and there's... Yes, and then there's Reese Jones, right? Now, so many times, Reese is called in, and for the young'uns out there, they think of Reese as the open doctor. But it was really Dad, Robert Trent Jones Sr., who was the open doctor first, right? Yes?
He was the original open doctor, that's right. But by the late 80s, Reese had gone to work for his father and then started his own business, as Robert Trent Jones Jr. had. But Bob was very busy, I mean, in Hawaii, in the Pacific Basin generally, on the West Coast. And Reese stayed on the East Coast and perhaps for that reason had closer relationships with the United States Golf Association, which was, you know, just down the road from him in Far Hills, New Jersey. His base of operations was in Montclair, New Jersey. And so they brought him in for, I think it was the 88 Open at Brookline, Massachusetts, and he did
such a good job with that redesign that he, the USGA and the club started to turn to Reese. And so through the 90s and into the turn of the century, Reese was brought in a number of times to do the redesigns. And so he inherited kind of the mantle of the open doctor that his father had originally had.
We're talking with James R. Hansen. He's author of A Difficult Par. It's about Robert Trent Jones Sr. and the making of modern golf, but it is so much deeper than that. It's about the loves or the love of Robert Trent Jones Sr. and the two sons, and the two sons' acrimonious relationship, to put it mildly. But I've got to ask you first, before we get into that. Robert Trent Jones Sr., his course has hosted 79 national championships, 20 U.S. Opens, 12 PGA championships, two Ryder Cups, and a President's Cup. Which course, though, did Mr. Jones spend most of his recreational time on? Where did he play golf?
Well, he lived in Montclair, New Jersey, for much of his life, and he didn't design the original Montclair Country Club, but he redesigned it several times. But then in the late 50s, he bought a course down in Fort Lauderdale after he designed it called Coral Ridge. And not a terribly well-known course outside of the South Florida area, but he essentially then kind of moved down, spent the winter months, and then eventually lived year-round at Coral Ridge. And it had some very prominent members. Julius Boros was a regular member. Dave Thomas, who was the Wendy's founder. And so he spent most of his time really, it was kind of the love of his life in terms of golf courses. It's a very good golf course, but it's not one that, you know, that most people would think of when they're thinking of the top Robert Trent Jones courses. But for him, it was, you know, living in Fort Lauderdale and living in South Florida, as a lot of retired people do. That's where Jones spent most of his time when he wasn't traveling. Most of his time was spent in a seat in the 747. he was building courses, you know, all around the world on five continents and 27 different countries. And one of the really interesting things about the story is his relationship with very prominent clients who had the money and the influence to do big things. I mean, that certainly happened in Hawaii as well with Lawrence Rockefeller, who was the, you know, who Mauna Kea comes into existence. Henry Kaiser, another major, was the shipbuilder who built the Liberty ships during World War One, and that's the Hawaii Kai development. He built courses in Morocco for the King of Morocco, on the island of Sardinia for the Aga Khan. I mean, Jones, throughout his life, it's a theme. He cultivates relationships with people that can do things for him, you know, essentially have the money, have the influence to make big golf course developments take place. And one of the problems with the end of his life is that he wants to become one of them. He doesn't want to just be the architect anymore. He wants to be a developer. He wants to be, and that leads him, because he's not really a terribly shrewd businessman. He's a great salesman, but he's not a great businessman. And he invests a lot of money in certain properties, especially in Europe, that don't work out. He loses millions of dollars. And so the study of the end of his career after truly becoming the world's best known golf course architect, you'd think he would have been making out like a bandit in terms of his bank accounts, but he had been losing money left and right. And it actually took the development of the Alabama Robert Trent Jones Trail, the big contract down here in Alabama, that enabled him to really recoup and pay his debts and actually live the last year of his life in some relative security.
Wow. We're going to take a break. We're talking with James Hansen, author of A Difficult Par. That's sad. You know, there's something really sad about someone who works and then there's also the Peter principle. You know, you need to find where your niche is, and sometimes trying to step out of that, unless you hire people to do it for you.
Well, this goes back to his, you know, he was an immigrant. Came over in 1912.
I wanted to talk about that after the break, about where he came from and the love letters that you discovered after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why we designed the new Acura MDX just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with 3 separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available AcuraLink surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. Maybe it's called the beaten path, because it can be beaten. Introducing the new 2014 Acura MDX. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star, Star Protection Agency.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Alrighty, we are back on, and we are talking right now with the man who wrote A Difficult Par, Robert Trent Jones Sr., and the Making of Modern Golf. His name is James Hansen. In researching, I thought it was fascinating. You know, in addition to the fact that Robert Trent Jones Sr. came from the Welsh borderlands, a working class man with very little money, and then the 400 love letters with a debutante. I mean, it's not like he came from debutante society. Mr. Hansen, can you tell us a little bit about his background?
Yeah, he came over in 1912. Actually, the ship he came on and landed at Ellis Island left port in Liverpool the day that the Titanic sunk. So that in itself is quite a story. But he arrives as a 6-year-old, and his father was a simple carpenter. They settled in East Rochester, where his father worked building refrigerated railroad cars, you know, as a carpenter. And Jones grew up in a working-class neighborhood, working-class family, caddied in the Rochester area at the Rochester Country Club. He got to know Walter Hagen. You know, he sometimes caddied for Hagen as a boy. He didn't graduate even high school, but he had this goal of designing golf courses, and he didn't know how in the world you'd even get to do that, especially, there was no program to become a golf course architect. But he got a job up at a place called Sodus Bay on Lake Ontario, and one of the members there was a man who was quite rich. He owned an oil vinegar factory, and he had been a graduate of Cornell University. So Jones telling this man about what he wanted to do with his life. And the man took him under his wing, drove him in his limousine down to Ithaca, and introduced him to the Dean of Agriculture, who gave Jones special permission to take just those courses that he might need to have to understand how to design a golf course. While he was there, they invite him, he becomes a member of a fraternity, and he meets a young lady who's at a nearby college, Wells College, who's a brilliant young woman who's from New York City, very much the debutante from a blue-blooded family. Her father was an executive with Bell Telephone, and he meets her and falls in love. And because he's, you know, this is 1930 then, when he leaves Cornell, it's the midst of the Depression. He's getting very few jobs, and the ones he gets, they don't pay him. And he's in love with this woman and wants to marry her, but her father won't hear it, won't let his darling little princess marry him until he can prove that he can make some money.
Wow.
Well, that takes some time. And as a result of the time, I mean, over 4 years that they're apart, and he's trying to get his business started, and she's traveling to Europe with the family and staying down in Montclair, New Jersey, which is where her family was from, and they write love letters back and forth. And those love letters were kept by youngest son, Reese Jones. And one night when I'm visiting with Reese, they take me back to the house after dinner, and Reese's wife, Susan, says, Jim, I want to show you something up in the attic. So we go up in the attic, and she takes me over to a chest, And she opens the chest up, and she says to me, "I'm not sure these will be of any use to you, but you might want to take a look at them." And she grabs a big packet of bound letters and said, "These are love letters that my father-in-law, Mr. Jones, wrote to his wife-to-be, Ione, between 1930 and 1934. And it turns out there were like 450 of these love letters that she kept. He didn't keep her letters, but she kept his.
Of course
she did. And so, you know, after I saw them, I read a couple of them, and I said to Reese and to Susan Jones, I said, "Now that I know that these love letters exist, I wouldn't even write the book if I couldn't use the letters."
Exactly.
Because they were amazing.
Exactly.
Not only did they tell you, I mean, were true love letters, but not only did they tell you about who he was, I mean, because he really bared his soul in these letters to this young woman that he was so desperately in love with, but he's also starting his career. So when he writes the letters, you know, he's apart from her, and he's telling her where he's at, where he's driving to, what kind of business he's trying to drum up. And so they're marvelous. I mean, there's the insights into what he was doing in the first 4 to 5 years of his career, you just couldn't figure it out any other way.
Amazing.
So it turned out to be a tremendous resource for me, and to get the book off in a way that people could really get deep insights into what Jones, I mean, he just poured his soul out in these letters, and he wants to prove to her that he can be a great man and can be and he called it the world's greatest golf architect. He was saying that's what he wanted to be in 1930. And it takes him a couple decades to accomplish, but he does exactly that.
Robert Trent Jones Jr. is this book's topic. His entire life, his love life, his sons. I mean, we can't really end this without asking the one question. Robert Trent Jones Jr. and Reese Jones, the relationship between these two men, they're brothers. They're both architects, golf course architects. They followed in their father's footsteps. Not only in 1930 did Robert Trent Jones Sr. decide he was going to become the world's greatest architect, but he's left that to his sons to kind of live up to. Will they ever become friends? Do you think?
No.
Did you just say no?
No. You mean one of the hardest questions that I think I'll be asked is how did this sibling, and it's more than a rivalry, at points it almost becomes pathological, dislike between the two sons. You know, the question is, how did it start? And really, I would have to have a psychiatrist with me to go back, and because it really started in boyhood. The relationship between the two boys was difficult from the start. I mean, I think part of it, I don't really blame either the father or the mother, Trent Jones Sr., or his wife, Ione, for this. I think there was the fact that Trent Jones Sr. Was away most of the time. I mean, he was very much an absentee father. And then Reese had polio as a young boy, and the mother had to really nurse him. And there became a very special bond between the youngest son, Reese, and the mother, whereas the older brother, you know, kind of identified more with the dad, the absentee father. So there, you know, if you wanted to take it that far or farther, you would have to really look into that kind of psychological study, which I do to some extent. But what I can do more legitimately is the papers of Mr. Jones, which are the complete business and personal files of Jones, were available to me. They're now up in the Cornell Archives. And I looked, you know, through like 450, you know, file drawers that are just stuffed full of all this material. And there's everything's there. And so you can follow how the two boys come into the business. You can see the disagreements that develop as they try to work together. And then they both go into their own businesses separately. But there's still, you know, relationships with the parent company. And there's all kinds of difficulties between the two of them that you know, continue to this day. And fortunately, through both Robert Trent Jones Jr. and Reese helped me considerably with the book. They both did lengthy interviews with me.
Wow.
So somehow, some way, I was able to, you know, walk the tightrope between the two of them and get insights from both of them. But in terms of their relationship, it's all laid out in the book. It's very troubling. It's not a happy story. Trent Sr.
had this naive belief that somehow, some way, the two boys would reconcile and they would come back and work for him again.
Yeah,
well, that was a pipe dream.
Yeah, and that's a father's dream, you know, and that's sweet. And a man, an immigrant with little or no money to his name, to build himself up into Robert Trent Jones Sr., maker of modern golf, and we just love his courses. I mean, there's Mauna Kea that everybody knows about, but there's the Royal Course at Kaanapali that's absolutely,
absolutely.
Spectacular course. James R. Hansen, the book is A Difficult Par. Sir, thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoy your work. Aloha.
I enjoyed talking to you, Daniel. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to come back right after this. Jose Miraflor is standing by. It's Cobra Golf. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poi Poo Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poi Poo Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poi Poo Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poi Poo Bay. That's 742-8711. Poi Poo Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Do you suffer from migraines and headaches, stiff neck, or grind your teeth? Come see Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute. 20 years and state-of-the-art diagnostics with a caring staff gives you peace of mind. We're located at 3660 Wailea Avenue in Kaimuki, above Kahala. Call 737-2865 for your appointment. Validated parking. The first step to ending your chronic pain is Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute.
Joining us in the clubhouse this morning, it's TJ Acura of Honolulu, graduation.
It's graduation season, and it's a particularly a special season for me because I've got a college graduate pending this May. I'm getting ready to pony up for master's degrees. That's what I'm getting ready for.
They all want to be independent now. You know, they need to be able to travel. They need to be able to go pursue their dreams, and they'll need a car to do that. Acura of Honolulu, and you can find them at AcuraHonolulu.com. Tell us about this for graduates.
Well, I'll tell you what, Danielle, this is a really, really dynamite program. Acura has a special college graduate program, and of course, that rewards college graduates for, you know, their determination for going, for following through and getting that degree. And it rewards them in a special way, not only monetarily by giving them $500 as a special discount or applicable to their purchase or lease. All they have to do is prove to me who they are with a driver's license, social security card, and show me their diploma that they actually finished school. And we knock $500 right off the top as a gift from Acura. More importantly, they get a guaranteed approval. A lot of times what you'll find is these kids come out of college, they've been leaning on mom and dad the whole time. They don't have any of their own credit. And then when they come to their graduation time, they find out that mom and dad need to co-sign for them to qualify to get their new car because they don't have any credit experience. With Acura, we'll get you guaranteed approval all by yourself with no co-signer. As long as you don't have any negative credit, we'll get you down the road with a great below-market-based APR, a $500 discount bonus applied. And your parents won't have to get involved other than helping you make that great decision. They won't have to sign. They won't have to jeopardize that refinance that's coming up in the fall. They won't have to worry about, you know, getting their own car loan later on in the year because they've signed for you. And it lets those youngsters actually, you know, take pride in the accomplishment that they've achieved by graduating, taking full responsibility for the next step of their lives.
We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. Yes, indeed, on 4 radio stations and online at RadioGolfClub.com. You know, we've got Stephanie Way coming up, contributor to SIGolf.com. Her website is Way Under Par. I wish I were way under par. I'm working on it, but I'm not. Maybe a Cobra Golf Club would help with somebody getting way under par. Jose Miraflor, Cobra Golf Marketing Director, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. The BioCell Pro is for touring pros and low handicap amateurs. It's a 440cc club head with full fade bias. Less spin for high trajectory, low spin for more distance. Unless you have a higher than 100 swing speed swing, don't use it. So who do you suggest for this beautiful BioCell Pro?
You know, we've been having huge success on tour with it because this is the driver that Ricky's been using. And if you know anything about Ricky Fowler, you would know that he's a pretty darn good ball striker of the golf ball with his driver. And we designed a driver for him because he said, I'm looking for a little bit lower spin and a flatter trajectory. And we took all the things we've been doing with the BioCell family and made a pro version of it, which simply means the lowest DG that we could create, and it's pretty darn low. And that contributes to super low spin, higher speed, better launch angle, a little bit higher launch angle. And the first thing that Ricky and his agent said after hitting a group of balls was, hey, this is USGA legal, right? It's conforming. And we gave a chuckle. We said, of course it is. Why? And he said, it's taken off so fast. It's got so much speed. It's ridiculous. And I think everybody has been noticing how far Ricky's been hitting the ball this year with his better swing. But, you know, he was testing this driver before he met up with Butch. So prior to Butch working on it, he was getting more distance. And now with Butch, he's getting even more distance and consistency. So it's great.
Awesome. So if you're Ricky Fowler, you can use this club. And if you think you're Ricky Fowler, you can use this club. Otherwise, you might consider the BioCell Plus. Now, who can play this 440cc club head with slight draw bias?
Well, the BioCell Plus is made with a little bit higher CG. It is among the lowest in the industry right now, so it rivals all what's out there. The BioCell Pro is just very, very extreme. We were showing off what we can do for the elite golfer.
Okay.
The BioCell Plus, if you're a strong golfer, you have a strong swing, and you have high launch and high spin, especially there in Hawaii where it's windy, and you want to control that, bring it down a little bit, the BioCell Plus is a perfect driver for you. We have a little bit of draw bias on it. You can have a draw setting because it comes in neutral, and the neutral settings are a little bit on the fade bias. The draw bias brings it a little bit more to the left for the person who may need that.
Mm-hmm.
But this driver, again, is designed for a tour pro up to a 10, 15 handicap range who needs a little bit more control with his launch conditions, bringing him down.
Okay, so now let's get to the 99.9% of the people who play golf. Okay, maybe I exaggerate. The original BioCell for game improvement.
Yeah, I mean, for the rest of us who also want to reduce our spin but don't want to bring it down too low because it won't stay in the air.
Right.
That's the majority of golfers like you and I. The BioCell is an excellent choice. It features a pretty low CG, just not as low as the other two, but it has a lot of forgiveness in it. So it's got a CG that's low and back, and that's our design philosophy. It's not low forward, it's low back, because back CG gives you the forgiveness you need when you miss it off the center of the face. And last time I checked, 99.9% of us do miss it off the center of the face more than just occasionally, and we need help keeping that driver, the drives in the center of the fairway. And, you know, when you have higher MOI, most people don't know this, you carry more ball speed. Because the head is more stable on missed hits, it's not acting like a bat when you're bunting. It's not absorbing energy. It's transferring the energy into the golf ball. So low back CG is what I recommend for most people, and even a lot of our tour players still are asking for, hey, your next one's got to have some back CG, right, because I need a forgiving too.
Excellent. Now, I like the science behind this club head, because it's like a honeycomb inside. You took the weight off and lowered the center of gravity, the CG. But it's an interest, and then you put the weights on the side. How did that work?
It's absolute truth. We, you know, it's BioCell is the name. The cell comes from cell weighting. And what we borrowed from nature is how they use cells to make areas of the club lighter and make other areas heavier. So our engineers went to work on finite element analysis. It's a way to understand vibrations as they move through a head. And we found places in the face, in the hosel, and in the crown, all those places that are forward or high, to make the wall thinner, and so we can move it down, which is low CG, and then back to give you that forgiveness. So that's our design philosophy. We want all golfers to succeed. We design clubs for all levels of play, but the cell weighting is what really gives us that ability to be able to carve out weight and put it somewhere else.
All of the drivers feature 8 loft options with simple adjustability to maximize distance and optimize yardage gaps?
Absolutely. We have a technology called MyFly 8. It allows you to have 5 loft settings. So, for example, in BioCell, it goes from 9 degrees up to 12.
Uh-huh.
And then 3 more settings, so a 9.5, 10.5, and 11.5, the middle settings, if you will, would have a neutral setting and a draw setting, so it makes it easy for you to adjust to your game. With that, of course, you can't have loft adjustability without SmartPad. Our SmartPad technology allows the golfer to choose any of those 8 settings without having to worry about the face getting closed when you add loft or the face getting open when you decrease loft. It just gives you a square face at address no matter what setting you put it in, and we like that simplicity and that performance together.
Okay, Jose. You know what? 95% of us kind of went, huh? You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Would you recommend that if we buy this driver, that we, let's say, go to a demo day or go to a golf fitter and say, can you look at my swing? Show me where my settings can be. Then start with that. And then go back maybe 6 months later and, you know, maybe it should be readjusted.
Oh, my goodness. It's even easier than that, Danielle, because the settings are so easy. So I said there's 8 simple settings in the head, and we all know pretty much the loft we start with, correct? So your job now is to say first, which head is right for me? I would choose between BioCell Plus or BioCell. I love the BioCell because I wanted a little bit more forgiveness.
Right.
So I know that I typically use a 10.5 degree loft in most drivers that I played in. I put it in the 10.5 degree setting and I hit it. The beauty of it is you can take it to your driving range, your golf course, and you can hit a ball and you can say, okay, let me try the other setting. If I put it up to 11.5 or down to 9.5, I'll be able to see if I'm hitting it further or not without, by just walking the golf course, by just looking at where it's going in the range. If you have access to launch monitors like all our tour players do, And those of us who have it at Cova Golf or the other OEM, we can check it on that. But the beauty of this is we have a lot of consumers that go to retail, get the setting that the fitter puts them into, they bring it to their course, they hit it, and they've even written back to us, thank you so much, it was so easy. I had it in 10.5, I tried it in 11, and it flew higher, great. Or I've tried it in 9.5, and it rolled out more, which I love at my golf course because it's windy. Thank you so much. You made it so easy for us to understand, and it really is that simple.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. Okay. If you're wondering when I talk about Cobra BioCell, somebody said, oh, you mean the one that comes in a whole bunch of colors? those are the ones, right?
Those are the ones. You know, our motto at Cobra Golf is cool stuff that works. It starts with performance. So the engineers and I get together, and we talk about all the technologies that we need at a given price point. Then we say, okay, how do we make this good looking? So somebody has choice. The name bio comes from your bio, your game, your style of play, or even your expression of colors. So the drivers come in 5 colors for you to choose from. Black, if you just want to be simple, like we've always been in golf since early on. It comes in blue, the second most favorite color in men. Orange, if you want to be like Ricky. Red, if you want to be red, and silver, if you want to be a little bit conservative but not black. So whatever color you want, it comes in. The performance is the same throughout all the colors.
Jose Miraflor, thanks so much. And before we finish, the last thing, don't you have something called like Clubs for Women Baffler?
My goodness, we have the largest women's line in golf. The BioCell, just so you ladies know out there, comes in 3 colors for you. There is a beetroot purple, which is pinkish. There is a blue, and then there is also a tangerine color. Three colors in the BioSelf Women's, in the Drivers, Fairways, Hybrids, and Iron. And then if you go to the Basper side, which is our super game improvement line, and this is made to help get the ball up in the air to give even more forgiveness in the BioSelf. We have another color in there, and that's a kind of light purple, a lavender color. And that one is an awesome, easy-to-hit golf club that if you're a beginning golfer or an intermediate golfer or you're just looking to get the ball up in the air, this is the right family for you to be in, the Baffler XL line.
Thank you, Jose Miraflor, Cobra Golf Marketing Director. Excellent job. We've got Stephanie way up next. She's at the Players. Jose, talk to you soon.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
When the outside world grows too intrusive, it's nice to know you can escape to one that's all your own. Like the one you'll find inside the Acura RDX. With over 38 inches of rear legroom and over 76 cubic feet of cargo space, the interior of the RDX is designed to be your personal sanctuary. The RDX also features perforated leather-trimmed seating surfaces that provide maximum comfort to every passenger, gripping them through accelerated turns. Immaculately designed and tailored to fit the human form, the Acura RDX interior was named one of Ward's 10 best. The 2014 Acura RDX. Create your own space in the world. Acura reminds you to properly secure items stowed in cargo area.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Awesome. Okay, first of all, let's go back to the Players Championship. Stephanie Way is going to be joining us. She is there. The wind kicked up yesterday. No one expected Martin Kaymer to be challenged if Kaymer managed to shoot a good second round. Of course, there's always the doubters because he hasn't been consistent. But he was consistent. Nevertheless, here comes steady Jordan Spieth within a shot of tying for the lead at the Players' Championship, and Spieth bogey-free through two rounds.
I think that the fact that I feel very comfortable chipping around these greens makes it a lot easier to hit the second shots in, knowing that I can be a little more aggressive, don't have to play to 30 feet. I don't think it's going to be possible to stay bogey-free for two more rounds with the greens firming up. That's a nice goal to have, I think. But, you know, when bogeys come, it's going to be how I rebound.
Let's go now to the Players. Stephanie Way, way under par is her site. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thanks, Danielle. It's good to be on the show.
Absolutely fabulous. Now tell me how, I mean, I'm shocked. I see Rory McIlroy managed a 69. I didn't think he could pull it out after the start he had this morning.
Right. Well, it's the same story all 3 days, right? He's had a rough front nine, and then just something about that front nine, then comes back and shoots a good score on the back nine again.
What do you think it is about Rory that's he's having such a hard time putting his game together?
Well, you know, I think maybe just it's what he said is just something about the front nine that doesn't fit his eye, and he struggles there, and you know, he doesn't have the best memories, I guess, you know, when you struggle a little bit on a few holes at a course, you know, it's tough to change your attitude or to make those memories into or to change those opinions or,
yes,
you know,
yes,
swing thoughts in a,
yes,
positive.
Yes, all of a sudden I'm knowing that that's how I would be. And but
yeah,
we don't think of a professional golfer as being a human.
Yeah, they are human. They actually are human. I don't know if Jordan Spieth is yet.
Uh-huh.
I'm not quite sure about him.
Well, you know,
but,
at the Masters,
most of us are human.
At the Masters, we did see a touch of humanness there at the end, didn't we? Right in the middle.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah.
On number 12, he was human, but he might be transcending that this week.
he's amazing to watch him, you know. And I thought maybe it was his Catholic school childhood, you know. It's very strict in Catholic school.
No, I don't know. I think it's just Jordan. You know, I talk about this all the time with people. It's so hard to believe he's 20 years old. He's so mature. I think back to when I was 20, and just the way he speaks so articulately. And he probably speaks better than I do at 31 right now. And it's just, some people have that X factor or that maturity level and they're just beyond their years. And that's Jordan Spieth for you.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing his fun factor. You know, we see the steady,
right,
Jordan Spieth. I haven't seen the Jordan having fun Spieth. Do you think that part of him will come out?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure, you know, because I was talking about this with a friend yesterday that we haven't quite seen that either. I don't know if there is a really fun side. I'm sure there's a lighter side. There is a lighter side to him, but I don't know if he knows how to, if he's, you know, there's that other side.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. Adam Scott. Adam Scott is, you know, surfer. Adam Scott is, he was the player, Adam Scott, and now he shocked us all. Adam Scott, tell us the Adam Scott story, the shocking news of the week.
Oh, yeah. Well, Adam revealed yesterday to the Australian AP writer, Ben Everill, that he got married 3 weeks ago in a, you know, small wedding in his backyard at his home in the Bahamas. And the invitations that he sent out were for a garden party. So Justin Rose got an invitation to a garden party. It didn't go because he didn't know it was Adam's wedding. So it was sort of a secret. I mean, it's amazing in this day and age that Adam could be married for 3 weeks and no one knew.
Yeah, that's in this day and age that no one took pictures and put it on social media. And
yeah, well, everyone knows that Adam's an extremely private guy. So I think they were just trying to respect that.
Well, he knew who to invite, that's for sure.
Yeah, of course. He knows who his friends are.
Right, and I understand that she wasn't wearing a wedding dress.
No, she's wearing a non-traditional dress. And I actually asked him today, you know, because the whole thing was so non-traditional, I said, are you guys wearing wedding rings? And he said, yeah, you know, but I'm just not wearing it now because I've never played golf with, you know, a ring.
Yeah. That makes total sense to me. I mean, it's a weird feeling if you don't, you know, it's something that would change his swing.
Right. Some guys wear them, some guys take it off, you know, it just varies.
Yeah.
I always notice that, though. I think it's a girl thing. And I really wanted to ask if she even had an engagement ring, since it was just something they decided to do. But I felt a little bit silly asking him that.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. With golfers, especially a professional golfer, even a change as small as we think a change would be, like putting a ring on. But when you put a ring on, you're not accustomed to wearing it. It'd be complete. Now, who is this young woman who snagged one of the most eligible, handsome, fabulously wonderful young men?
Well, she's a Swedish architect. I believe that she works in New York. She was living in London up until, I believe, last year. So she has, obviously, it's very difficult to become an architect, and especially in a female, it's even tougher. So we don't know much about her. She doesn't really come out on tour. I'm going to butcher her last name. Her name is Marie Hofstar or something like that.
Uh-huh. Well, it's okay. We don't know her, so it's all right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I should have asked him, you know, to take her last name. But I also felt a little bit silly asking him that, too. But, you know, she seems like a very independent, smart woman. And that's the thing with Adam, is that he was never going to marry someone or be with someone who hadn't done something on their own first, which I have a lot of respect for.
That's interesting. Well, how did you get that impression from him? How did you know that?
Well, just from my observations of Adam, and the Australian AP writer told me that.
Interesting. I know. How about Wednesday at the Players? Before we talk about the caddies and what they do Wednesday at the Players, every year there's the big thing about, should this be the fifth major?
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. That's so tiresome.
Isn't it? But it's just for people who don't know, the Players Championship is put on by the PGA Tour. So the PGA Tour made the purse enormous. I think it's $1.8 million to the winner. And it's, $10 million.
Yeah, well, it's $1.2 or something for second place.
$1.2 for second. Gee, tough, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Not a bad payday.
Now, from what I saw on Golf Channel, 48% said no way, Jose, or 51 or 52%, or it was the other way around. 52 said no, 48 said yes.
I would think that there would be more people saying no, but maybe out of respect for the tour, they said yes.
That's exactly what I thought, too, because they poo-pooed so much on the LPGA's, you know, fifth major.
Right.
And now they're talking, then all of a sudden the PGA Tour's big event happens and everybody's going, oh, this should be the fifth major.
I think it's just talk.
Okay, no, well, that's what I want to know. I'd also like to know what the players think, the actual, you know, PGA Tour guys.
From my impression, I don't think they think there should be a fifth major. I think that Most golfers are traditionalists, and I'm a bit of one myself, and I think that there are four majors, and that's just the way it should be. And just from my impression and talking to players in the past, I think that's how they feel, too.
Yeah, I put it on Facebook and asked my friends on Facebook, mm-hmm. and basically they said if there's going to be a fifth one, it shouldn't be in the U.S. it should be someplace else.
Yeah, I mean, people have talked about that, you know, a major in Asia or something like that, and you know that I could see that, but we're still a long ways from that.
Right, when it becomes truly global, then major, maybe that fifth major. But I agree with you. The four majors on the men's tour, and I'm just so excited about how the LPGA tour is shaping up. It's been a great year of winners. Isn't it wonderful?
Kind of funny because we've had relative unknown winning the season on the PGA Tour, with the exception of perhaps Bubba Watson at the Masters for the most part, and then the Women's Tour, it's been star-studded. You know, I mean, you couldn't ask for, you know, a better list, from Jessica Korda to Stacey Lewis to Michelle Wee, Lydia Ko.
Exactly.
I don't think you could, Lexi Thompson, couldn't script it better.
No, you couldn't. It's like, okay, guys, you know, crank up the machine, do something, because we're really going to sleep here.
It's been an odd year, I know. And honestly, I'm starting to miss Tiger. Tiger's absence, I think, is really felt. It's starting to be real. Starting to be very apparent.
Yeah. Have you heard anything about Tiger coming back?
No. I mean, I have heard from other players who have had the same surgery that he might not be coming back as soon as he thinks. It takes longer than he might think.
Yeah. That's generally speaking the case. You tell somebody, a doctor would say, you know, you can do this. It's going to take a while, and sometimes they get like the best case scenario, and Tiger's in the best possible shape.
Right. But there's guys like Graham DeLette, for instance, had the same surgery, and he, you know, thought he tried to come back after a few months and played one or two tournaments and, you know, played awful and realized that he was not ready to come back. Mm-hmm. And then so he took another 6 months or so off, the rest of the season off again, and before he tried again, and that was the right move.
I completely agree. I think he should take as much time as needed to be completely healthy and not hurt himself again just to have to go out. Enjoy the kids, have fun, and just let it be. Yeah, that's all there is to it. But in the meantime, of course, we're a little on the board.
Well, yeah, we miss them. Yeah, you know, exactly. We're a little bit bored. It's not the same.
It's
as much grief as we, you know, he gets, or and also as much hype as he gets. That's part of the beauty of Tiger Woods. You know, he attracts fans. He attracts viewership. He, you know, he goes. He's beyond golf, just golf.
Exactly. He brings in the casual sports fan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. He transcends golf, and that's what we want. You know, to try to grow the game to have more people, more eyes watching it, more people following it. So, and you know, even golf fans I know have said that it's boring without Tiger. I've talked to some of my friends, and you know, they're bored, and they're avid golf fans.
Exactly. I hear them. I hear them, and it's a very exciting time for the LPGA. LPGA mm-hmm. needs to capitalize on that and really sparkle, and that's exactly what they're doing. Something else that I really wish that they'd stop doing, I never hear a baseball player, say something like, you know, it's become a job, this thing that's called playing ball. It's really hard, all the sacrifices that I have to make, you know, playing this. I'm just not having fun anymore. You know, I've made $56 million over my career. I'm never going to have to worry about whether the kids can eat. But I just, you know, I'm just not having fun. I don't want to hear that whine. I don't want to hear that.
But, you know, honestly, I'm with you there, but I do understand that to an extent.
Please explain.
I felt that when I was 16. And that's when I knew when I was 16, 17 that I did not have I did not want to be grinding it out every week, playing in these tournaments. Because it's mentally just more exhausting, I think, than any other sport. It's just the nature of golf is. It's so frustrating. That's why athletes from other sports love it so much, because it's a challenge for them. You know, because they can't perfect it. It's hard. It's mentally taxing, and, you know, you're just grinding, hitting balls over and over, hitting the same chip shot, hitting three-footers for hours. I never enjoyed that practicing so much. You know, I didn't mind hitting balls so much, but, you know, just the repetitiveness of it gets a little bit much, and, you know, you're on the road a lot, and you're living out of a suitcase, you know, Some players can afford to bring their families along, but, you know, the majority of them can't always do that. Because, you know, we're thinking like the upper echelon, like the top 50 in the world. They can do whatever they want, you know, but then there's, you know, how the other half lives. And, you know, the guys that are lower down on the money list. And, you know, it's a little bit of a grind for them. And it can be taxing. And so I do understand when they whine a little,
you know what? But you did put it in perspective for me, because golf is one of those games that every time you think you've got it figured out, you don't. Stephanie Way, my show is wrapping up, and you got to be coming on with me more often. I'm so glad.
I would love to.
I'm so glad we got together, and just a real pleasure getting your take. Thank you for making it a part of your day today. I really appreciate it. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I want to thank this wonderful man who called in and won our great Bridgestone golf ball giveaway, Russ Tyra from Maui. And thank you for making the golf club possible, Dr. Armon Chong, a great dentist. He's the director of the Hawaii TMJ Institute. He's the dental director for 10 senior facilities. Yes, the dentist who makes house calls to senior citizens who can't get out. The official dentist of the 1990-95 Hula Bowl and Aloha Bowl, Dr. Armand Kainoa Chong. His number is 737-3525. Poipu Bay Golf Course, yes! Go get a Mother's Day gift over there. If I were, you know, for me, you can get me a gift card so I can go play Poipu Bay. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. Protection for your home or your business, for your concert or your special event. Get the Star Team on your property. And Acura of Honolulu, military appreciation never ends there. ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing year-round discounts, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. I'm going to go play golf. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2014.